thanksgiving. Good morning, everybody. Trust that you're doing fantastic. It's just as Wendy came to the front and sharing that testimony, I just felt in my spirit the Holy Spirit saying, keep your eyes on him, Josh Jane Willington. Keep your eyes on him, Josh Jane Willington. And this morning, my prayer is, so during the last 2 weeks, and we've got on Wednesday mornings, we've got prayer meetings, 5:30 if you want to join. But the one thing that stood out during the 2 weeks already is just, if we seek him, we will find him. And for everyone who asks, receives. To the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And my prayer this morning is as we journey this morning, and this desire will burn in our hearts to go and seek him. I pray that it will encourage us as we hear testimonies this morning and stories, that it will drive us to the inner room. Hallelujah. So as we are during the course of the past month or 2 months, I'm not sure, we've been doing this theme called fan or follower. And as I was trusting the Lord for a word, it just dropped in my heart. The one morning where he woke me up at 5 and said, He said, eyewitness accounts. I said, amen. Eyewitness accounts. And I believe he wants to unlock our eyes this morning to see. Because we can testify, we can be an eyewitness if we saw something. And an eyewitness is a person who directly observes an event and can provide a first-hand account or testimony about what they have seen. So this morning there's gonna be two sections. There's I call it I've only got simple words, but it's called outside and inside witness accounts. So outside, for instance, being you walking down the road and here comes a car and there's an accident and you've seen it. You've seen what has happened there. And you can testify. If somebody would have asked you, have you seen this accident? You would be able to say, yes, I've seen this accident because I was there. The inside witness accounts is going to reflect more to our quiet times. They're in the inner room, in the secret place. So I'm going to, I've shortened some of the stories in the Bible. So the first one is the healing of the man born blind. It's in John 9. It says, Jesus heals a man. So I'm just paraphrasing it. So Jesus heals a man who was born blind. The Pharisees interrogated the man and his parents, trying to discredit Jesus. However, the man boldly testifies that what Jesus has done for him, despite facing opposition. This man, he replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know is I was blind, but now I see. And for all of us, we will be facing opposition as we are in this world. But are we building into our foundations eyewitness accounts that we will be able to say, I was blind, but now I see. I was there, I've seen this. You cannot, in a sense, take this away from me. the raising of Lazarus. So Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, fell ill and died. 4 days after his death, Jesus arrived in Bethany. Despite the mourning and doubt from those present, Jesus assured them of his power over death, saying, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus then approached the tomb, asking for the stone to be removed, and prayed to the Father. He called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." Lazarus came out of the tomb, still wrapped in his grave clothes. Jesus instructed those present to take off the clothes and let him go. So at that moment, there was witnesses that saw what happened. Martha, Mary, the disciples, and the onlookers. And they witnessed an account. So if somebody would go to them and say, "No, but Jesus didn't raise." They would say, no, but I was there. You cannot take that away from me. So these two stories, there's many in the Bible, but these two stories, it maybe feels like a long time ago, something has happened and they can testify. But don't worry, I've got some witnesses with me this morning. I would like to call them out. Neelan and Lumko and Anri. Yeah, you can come to the front.
Sorry.
Come out. So I've asked them to shortly share something that they've seen. So as they share, open up your hearts and just hear.
Okay, thanks, Richard. So I'm going a little bit off script. When you spoke about opening the eyes, I immediately thought of the very first time I trusted the Lord, and it was when I was still a student many years ago. I went on my very first outreach to Namibia. We were a bunch of students that went, and at a stage, the leaders went on to another town to go and scout the town, and it was just us that was left behind. At that stage, I was driving the bus because I was the only one with a PDP license, and that day we were supposed to go into a township outside of Okahanya. The Namibians will know probably where that is, but it was winter, it was very cold, and we went to this town called Domdorp. So it was interesting name. It was kind of like the worst neighborhood, or the where the poorest of the poor stayed. And we were supposed to meet a local leader there, and we were supposed to hand out blankets and a food parcel in this township. So it was very cold, I remember that. And we went this morning, drove in with the bus, stopped at this community center, and then we waited outside in the sun. Yeah, and then one of the people from the community center said that they want to talk to the leader. And all of us were looking at each other, and everybody just said, "Well, Neelan, you go because you're the bus driver." So I'm like, okay. So I went, and apparently there was a phone call from the lady that was the leader that was supposed to meet us there, and she said she had a family emergency, she can't come anymore, but we can just go and hand out the food parcel. So I came back and I said, "Guys, we don't have a leader," and everybody started stressing. And long story short, we were like, okay, well, we have to go out now, and everybody was freaking out because no one has done it before. And so in our wisdom, we said, "Well, let's pray." And we stood around and we started praying. And then we started experiencing things that we believe that that God showed us. And in the end, we started going out 2-2 into this community. And we were handing out food parcels. And then we would get back to a central point. And the first time then, When we got back, the first testimony came, oh, we prayed for a man, and he was lame for 21 years, and he stood up, and he walked. And we're like, no, it can't be. No, that, I mean, really? And so every time we got back together, we heard a new testimony. And so I was with a girl called Karen, and we walked, and it was, and we were praying. And all of a sudden, we just felt we should go into this home. And we went into that home. And there was a family, and we asked if there's anybody that was sick, could we pray for them? And they said, yes, my grandmother, she's blind. And so he said, okay, can you call her? And they called the grandma, and she sat on a chair outside. I remember this beautiful Hureru lady, I think is the tribe's name, and she had the most beautiful face, but her eyes were gray from blindness. And she was sitting there looking into the afternoon sun, and Karen and I, we were praying, and at a stage, and I'll never forget this, at a stage I just focused on how beautiful this elderly lady was, and how beautiful God made her. And I just prayed for her, and then while we were praying, she kind of blinked her eyes, and she kept on blinking her eyes. And the color of her eyes started changing from gray to blue. And she got up, and she said something in her ear. And then the little children, they can speak Afrikaans there. And the little girl, she ran around. She said, my oma says I can see, I can werkelijk see. And then Karen, we freaked out. We were like, let's go now, let's just go. And so we ran, and then when we got together, I mean, when everybody got together, we're like, listen, we started telling the testimonies, and then a mob started, like the people came, because then people were healed of lame, someone had a skin disease, there was a person that had that was infected with AIDS and was very, very sick, and that person got healed. People were walking. And so we were there without leaders, just students, and we had a mob on our hands. And so I just said, let's get in the bus, let's go now. And then people came alongside the bus, you know, when they're like, no, they were trying to stop us, and we just went. And so I'll never forget that, you know. And so literally seeing someone getting healed. And that kind of set the tone for me just wanting to go on each and every mission that I could. And so praise the Lord for that. Cool.
Okay, so mine is, I have a friend, a really, really close friend, and a couple of years ago when I first really started understanding what the Lord wants to do in people's lives and set people free, we were spending a lot of time together, and eventually I started realizing that she really suckles with anxiety, but in a way that I had never experienced before. So it had a very big negative impact on her life, but like really big. So she was fearful. She hit her head against walls when she got very anxious and scratched herself. And of course, here I am. I have no idea what's going on. And it scared me, but I always knew that there was something that the Lord had wanted to bring freedom in her life. And so every time it happened, we sat and we went through it and we processed it as we best could in that situation. And then she started going through sessions of deliverance, and it was a beautiful time in her life. And very soon after all of these sessions, she was a completely different person. She had no longer been living in this fear. She could walk in the night without having to run away, and she didn't want to hit her head anymore. There wasn't this this box of fear in her life anymore, and I could see that she was a total different person after the Lord had set her free and brought peace into her life. And that was a really beautiful, so I know that he did that in her life, and no one can take that from me. Yeah.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Mine is last year when I received the news of joining the team that is going to the outreach in Zambia. At that time, my mother was got a stroke, so there must be someone that is going to be next to her. So I couldn't reject from my leaders. They told me that I'm going to join this team. So I got a prayer to God that, God, if you go and I have a meeting with my mother, can you please just wait for me, then I came back to Zambia. Then you can have the meeting with my mother, because I got this feeling that anytime God can visit to her and took away from us. So we go to Zambia, then we came back. Few weeks, God came back and then he say, Lumko, I think this is time that we took your mother. So what I trying to say, if you pray to God, God can hear. If you pray to God, God can hear. That's why in the book of Isaiah 59, verse 1, it says, in Xhosa, isandla sakhe asikuthuba singasindisi, nendlebe yakhe ayikuthuba ingevi. Enkosi.
So just as they have shared stories of eyewitness accounts, that story is built in them. And for instance, I want to share a story where one day we were, I'm not sure who was here, when was Andy here? Last week. So I'm not sure who saw Andy from Taiwan, he was here. And so one day me and him goes to Bikwini, and we go there to the train station, and we felt led to go into this one house. We knock there, we say, hi guys, and we want to pray. Is there anybody that needs prayer? And they say, come inside. And we're going inside there, and there's this guy lying there. He's been lying there for a year and a half. And he's never gotten up out of the bed. He can't walk. And in that moment, we get a vision that we need to just wash this guy's feet. We're like, do you have a bucket? She's like, why? No, we need to wash this guy's feet. So that's a different story. But so we wash this guy's feet. And all of a sudden, as we finish drying it off, he jumps out of the bed and he runs down the road. And everybody's like, what just happened there? So because of that story, nobody can tell me that God cannot heal, because I've seen it. And Neelan has seen it, and Lumka has seen it, and Henry has seen it, and all of us, we have seen some glimpses here and there through our lives. My question is, are we still seeing them? Are we still pressing in for them? Are we still those building those eternal eyewitness accounts into our hearts that will carry us through the temporary life? Because as we are still walking through this world, challenges come and they will throw you. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's, the Lord is the Lord good or not good and stuff. And we need to be searching for these things to build into our lives, so that we are building solid on a foundation that when the stuff of the world comes, we are standing still. We are not easily persuaded by somebody asking, are you sure God can heal? All I know that I was blind, but now I see. This is all I know. This is all I know. So that's more the outside eyewitnessing accounts. And then there's the inside. There's the secret place. There's the where you spend time with the Lord. And this is a very cool place. And but it takes some effort. It takes some action. It doesn't always come naturally. And there's an abiding that needs to happen there. There's a going into the secret room. And I just want to say the scripture, Matthew 6, verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. So this requires action. So for me, I can only witness from my account. So I've got an office here, and it's also the place where I spend time with the Lord. And so I go there, and in a sense, I lock myself up in that room until I meet with the Lord. And because sometimes what has happened is you want to go there maybe just for 5 minutes or 2 minutes or so on. But actually, the Lord loves to speak to us, actually. And that's where you need to cultivate and build your relationship with Him by spending time. Because in this secret place is He reveals things to you that you can testify about. I can testify that He's shown me visions or dreams and He's dropped stuff into my heart. And these things have kept me from easily falling astray. But if I'm not been spending time with Him, when the challenges comes, I'm quickly to, does the Lord provide? Of course He provides. I know this because I've seen this. My question is, are we spending time with the Lord? How is it going in your secret place? Can you testify of your times with Him? Oh, Lord. So, as the scripture said, if we seek Him, we will find Him. And this morning I want to encourage us, as followers of Jesus, to seek Him until we find Him. I want to encourage us to go home and go to your secret and room and find Him. I know there's lots of maybe I don't hear His voice and stuff like that. And that's a different sermon. But I want to encourage you to go to the secret room and, in a sense, lock yourself up. I think in the beginning for me, I've also said, you've got a home, you've got a house, but then you make it a home. And so sometimes my secret place in the beginning, it was also like, okay, I need to find myself here. Where's the Lord? I'm seeking the Lord. But I need to do that regularly so that I can start establishing, in a sense, this home where I can meet with the Lord. And there's times that I know if I need to go spend time with the Lord, I take my coffee machine with me. Because I know I'm not going to be there for 5 minutes. But I don't want to miss out what He's saying to me or the encounter, because otherwise I will say, well, just hang on, I need to go make coffee. No. So I take my coffee machine with me. Come on. So yeah, I think the point where I want to get to is, are we building eyewitness accounts into our lives, which we can stand upon? Or are we just, I can hear Neelan telling me a story, and that's fantastic, and it builds my faith. But when it's only me and a situation, Neelan is not there. But I've got a story. And do you have stories? And I want to encourage us to go and look for those stories, outside and inside. Going on an outreach. We've heard the testimonies of the guys going to Hermanus for the first time. And then they've come back with a story to tell. And something has changed in their hearts there. Hallelujah. So this morning I want to, it's very basic and simple maybe, but I want to ask that if there's somebody that's struggling with their quiet times, I want to pray for you. You can raise your hands if there's anybody struggling with quiet times. Is everybody doing? Okay, cool. So maybe we can just stand for those just raising up their hands, and then, come to the front. You can come to the front. Those just raise their hands, and I want some of the leaders to come out and pray for them. Pray for that space, that walls will break down. Because He is the God that wants us to see. He wants to reveal. Yeah, so who's praying and who's standing for prayer?